listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 26, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang. And on this episode, you'll hear from Antoine R.J. Wright, the publisher and editor of Mobile Ministry Magazine, a digital magazine that's been published since 2004 with questions, approaches, and experiments at the intersection of faith and mobile tech. In my conversation with Anton, we take a walk through history and talk about the evolution and development of mobile technology, initially back in the early days, starting with PDAs, personal digital assistants, and then laptops, and now mobile phones, smartphones that have become practically synonymous with what mobile technology is about. And more recently, the addition of tablets and mini tablets. And we explore how that affects our faith and the living out of our spiritual lives. So here's my conversation with Antoine R.J. Wright, the founder and editor of Mobile Ministry Magazine. All right, DJ Chuang here, and I am with Antoine Wright of Mobile Ministry Magazine, and I've been an admirer of his for years because he's been an advocate for mobile ministry for years. We're going to hear about the backstory of that, and now we are on the brink of mobile everything as a part of our lifestyle. And so I want to hear how you got into this and what keeps you going with gathering and curating all this information, just being a champion for something that is the present and the future.
The magazine itself started in 2004, October 2004, but if you will, the groundwork was laid about in 2000. I had a family member at my, actually at my father's funeral, who yelped at me for not getting in contact with her. And I said, well, you know, I lose four phone books at a time. I have five of them, but I keep losing four at a time. I don't know which one your number is in. And after a little conversation, she actually gave me a seed investment to get my first Palm Pilot. And from that first Palm Pilot, I went to finding a small community that downloaded and made Bibles for Palm Pilots. And I said, wow, this is pretty cool. One of the guys who built an open source Palm Bible reader had a very crappy website, so I rebuilt it for him and gave it to him as a gift. I love your fast updates, but your site really doesn't look good. So here you go. And he made me his webmaster, and that really was my introduction to mobile ministry. Really hearing and understanding that there was a very large percentage of the body of Christ that in the church that I hadn't been exposed to, carrying a print Bible made no sense. They had to have an electronic Bible. And I decided to, you know, when in Rome, be like a Roman and do the same. And you'd find here in the U.S., you know, that's not necessarily the right perspective. And so where I thought I was good having a Bible and a concordance to my Palm Pilot, a lot of folks thought I had a Game Boy. And so it went from, you know, trying to find out, you know, why did you think it was a Game Boy to this, there needs to be a resource for pastors to be able to plug into to at least get a high level kind of catch up. If I understand a little bit of what my congregants will be doing when these devices come on the scene, then it won't catch me completely off guard. And so that's from 2000, 2004, all of that processing to making a Mobile Ministry Magazine.
Wow, 2000. I mean, that's ancient in dot-com times. And with the mainstreaming of social media and smartphones, mobile, the word mobile itself has evolved since you started the magazine. Since you're talking about Palm Pilot, it's not in – well, I have a 15-year-old son. He wouldn't think of that as being mobile.
Did I get you? Oh, okay.
He wouldn't think of that as being mobile. He would think of smartphone and – data plans and cell phones as being mobile. So describe how that has progressed. I mean, you're a foremost expert.
Here's the thing. Mobile, or I prefer the term mobility. So, because it's an issue of context, it's not necessarily an issue of of moving, but of context. So right now, my context is that I'm sitting on a couch and talking to you on a Kindle Fire. I'm using a device which allows me to pick up and go into another room, but not lose the tether of the relationship. So with other computing devices, other communication devices, the idea to pick up and move doesn't really come into play. You know, we had that a little bit with cordless phones. You know, I can pick up and move to the next room, but not lose the connection that I'm making at this time. But it was only it was restricted to however far my receiver was able to get that connection. Well, mobile phone, mobile devices as a whole really kind of take that, and it kicks it way out the door. So it's now I don't connect just with somebody because I have a tether to them. But at the moment that I would like to connect with them, I have one of several channels to choose from, and I don't necessarily have to be sitting still in order for that to happen.
And you're going to demonstrate that for us in a few minutes when you feel like getting up and going.
No. I keep moving around. Hold on, let me keep doing it now.
That's great. So mobile is, in a broader context, about mobility, not so much the internet connectivity, although that's a part of how people can stay mobile.
Right. So, to be the point with communications is an intimacy. It's an intimacy connection. You know, when God said, "Adam, where art thou?" You know, he came down to him to talk to him face to face. You know, when we want to get your child's attention, I want to get my niece's attention. You know, I play something that has an attractive sound that they know that I want their attention. So it's all about getting somebody else's attention for the purpose of some type of fellowship or, you know, instruction, correction, you know, building up or tearing down. And mobile devices, more so than any communications medium that's come before, really allows us to do that almost as instant as God gets our attention, you know. So it's neat, it's cool, and it freaks pastors out. It freaks parents out. It freaks teachers out. It freaks governments out, because we really have gotten to the point where we can talk to whoever we want to when we want to.
Even around the world.
Even around the world. I'm in your West Coast, I'm East Coast right now. That's, you know, right. And it's kind of, you know, you wouldn't know it, you know, we kind of have that same, you know, after work look going on right now. But the ability to connect is something that, at least in language of the church, is not something that we have continued. It's not something we've dealt with unless something has challenged it. And in 2002, I asked the question, how are we going to respond to this? You know, if I have the internet in the palm of my hand, I'm not necessarily having to wait until Sunday or Wednesday night for the pastor to dissect the scripture. I'm going to go find it at the point of thought, at the point of inspiration. I'm not going to have to wait until I get to the library, because I have the library. I'm really not even going to have to, you know, go to the next room and ask my parent, because I got it. And if that's the case, how does that challenge or change the way that we define community or define church? How do we redefine, if it needs to be redefined, discipleship? You know, if these devices are going to be a part of our life, we really do have to ask the question, what happens at the intersection of faith and technology? And so,
what does happen at the intersection of faith and technology? Because mobile used to be more about people being able to connect to information, the Palm Pilot being kind of a repository of information. Now it's become a way of connecting with people because of social media.
It can be, you know, it can be a means of connecting to information or people who have the information, with, you know, kind of in the sense of what we're doing here. You know, it can be means of connecting to streams of creativity that we hadn't had before. One of the things I love to do on my iPad was to draw. I enjoy drawing. I lost it and I got it back recently. It's fun. And one of the Bible studies for a church plant that I attend, I start drawing my Bible study notes, and I posted on Twitter only because I know the guy who's a pastor. He's a good friend of mine, and I knew it blessed him, you know, just to see those notes. What I didn't know is that he would post those on Facebook, and his online community better connected to his messages by seeing pictures, not just having the text, not just having the video. So it was, for me, it's at the point of at that intersection, it's a moment of creativity. But and then for somebody else who's coming to that intersection, it's a moment of inspiration. You know, and so the thing that happens at this intersection, sometimes it's education, Campus Crusade, or now CRU. They've been doing an M-learning project for a few years now in Kenya. And at the intersection of mobile and education, they've been creating the ability for a community to sustain itself. You know, they went in with discipleship and education as their goals. And yeah, that's from their end. But from the other end, they created ability for a community to sustain itself in a growing economy. You know, and the problems, of course, that come along, you know, more money, more problems kind of meme as well. At the intersection of faith and technology, we run into accountability issues. You know, many of the stories that we're hearing about ministers and leaders who have fallen, finding, you know, that dirty little trail as being part of what we're finding. And we're having to ask the questions, you know, in our groups. Our pastors able to be accountable to another, or does their office, a little office, you know, create the space for these missed accountability issues? So at that intersection of faith and technology, where is accountability becomes a question, you know, to one another, to our families, to our communities. And so it's a big, wide open question.
In some ways,
I didn't think it was so big.
In some ways, technology can be used to add accountability because you always leave a digital trail.
You know, you are. You know, in the security side, folks always say, you know, there's no such thing as absolute security, especially if you're digital. You know, and you kind of give up your right to secure. And so, to that point of accountability, you give that up. You know, I'll say you give up being accountable as to get something, whether it's a service or a platform or followers or likes. You have to give something up in the process. Maybe that's, you know, a few more hours a day to see your Facebook metrics and your Twitter metrics and your Pinterest metrics. Or that may just be, you know, I have to learn how to make a digital timeout. I think it was Dr. Oz I was watching earlier, and that was one of the items they were talking about, creating digital timeouts so that you don't overload yourself, you know. And so it section, because, you know, it's really like Times Square. There's a whole lot of things happening all in one place. And I think with the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we really can navigate it. But, you know, the name says, you know, the Lord for wisdom, and God gives it to us freely. The problem is we don't ask the questions, therefore we don't get the wisdom. And so Mobile Ministry Magazine is just one of those spots where, me personally, I'm asking for wisdom. What are we doing at the intersection? I didn't know it was going to be one of those first places to ask that question, you know, in mobile. I really thought, I'm still naive as all get out to it to this day, I did not think the body of Christ was late or last or second in asking that question. But sometimes we don't ask questions loud enough until they're a problem. So, you know, it becomes a problem now that we're asking about attention and family time versus personal time and stewardship over resources. Now it's becoming something that we ask a little more openly, a lot more out there. And social media has been great in opening that conversation.
That's right, and we're all about conversation here. I'm pausing a little bit for the bandwidth to catch up, and I think you're moving so fast the Wi-Fi is having a hard time keeping up with you.
Whoops! Sorry about that.
So I did look at your sketch notes, so you do have an artistic side that comes through. You're note-taking and drawing, so I really appreciate that. I'm curious what app you use. I use Adobe Ideas myself. How about you?
Adobe Ideas and paper on my iPad. Those are the two I use. And then right now on the Kindle Fire, I'm using Sketch.
Sketch feels a little limited, but if you know how to use the few functions, I guess you can still make it work.
Well, and that's actually kind of the appeal, is that you only have, in the same thing with like with paper. I didn't buy any of the additional tools. I really am like trying to eke as much of the basic core functionality out as possible. And it's funny to get to that point, because when it comes to just about everything, I'm in that. That's me, you know. I love upgrades and, you know, getting even more from my book. I'm very foundational. Let me get the very most. Let me learn the most out of the range of tools, you know, that you offer me. Because if you offered it as a foundation, apparently it's good enough to do something. And there's something beautiful that can be done with a simpler or limited tool set. And I'll be honest, Sketch on the Kindle Fire is challenging me. it's really, really challenging me. Because it's a smaller screen and the touch screen acts a little bit different. And the iPad has some smoothness to it that I was taking for granted. I'm able to kind of, I have to see my drawings in a different light. So even still there, and I'm getting there.
How about stylus? What stylus do you use?
What stylus is on there? I have it. I just don't use it very often. It's a Kingston stylus. It's a stylus and a pen. Because I never carry pens. I'm 100% digital. I thought I might as well just do like I used to do on Pilot. Get the stylus with the pen attached to it. So I have that. And then the stylus, it really does stay in my grab bag. I don't use it unless I absolutely have to. Going back to using my fingers.
Well, that is very impressive gestures. For you to be doing the sketch notes that you do using just your fingers. Because I found I needed a stylus to do that kind of writing. So kudos to
kind of writing? Yeah. Ideas is great, though. I mean, that makes ideas awesome. I mean, that zoom and the vector graph, it's perfect. You can zoom in, you zoom out. On some of my sketch notes, I've actually toyed with embedding more as you zoom in, more information, more detail. If you can't see when you're further out, so I have to publish PDF. And a lot of folks, you know, they're surprised when they zoom in and they see, whoa, wait a minute, how'd you draw that? You know, and it's like, zoom. You know, it's pretty neat. But again, I said that intersection, you know, at the intersection of faith and tablets, I found that I can draw again, which has been rewarding. I mean, God's been gracious to me with that. I very much missed doing that.
Yeah, well, you're doing some amazing things. You know, thank you for sharing it so freely with the public through the internet. Couple questions as we wrap up. One is the model of publishing as a magazine is evolving very quickly as we get more digital ebook readers in our hands and becoming mainstream for consumers. Mm-hmm. You may have heard the news that Newsweek, which used to be the largest magazine, now number two, is stopping their print publication by the end of this year. And so does the metaphor of a magazine still work in a digital mobile age?
Oh, definitely. And which is interesting. It's something to explain. You know, to folks who've had a publishing background, like I explained about Mobile Ministry Magazine, magazine equals collection of stories. It doesn't mean print format, doesn't necessarily mean glossy paper. It means those things that I'm interested in that are told in a compelling fashion. You know, and it's not a novella but a little bit smaller, something more bite-sized, that may have some regular occurrence of refresh to it. And so to that end, you know, magazine, no, definitely not going away. I mean, I stopped with the download magazine, I think it was 2006, 2007. I'm a one-man shop, and it gets very hard to put all of that together. And I mean, I've got my graphics background, but man, pre-press and post-press and putting the PDFs that's too much work. You know, it's easier now, so much from scratch. But you know, it makes more sense, you know, for any entity that's in a publishing, whether it's media, video, audio, or mixed media, to really think of magazine as streams of data, you know, and how should people buy into, you know, the stream that's most relevant for them. I think the New York Times has done a really, really good job, and the BBC as well, of making not so much their brand is no longer the news as much as it is the streams that the news come from. You know, and so you can plug in your RSS feed, you're savvy, you can pull the API and do some really neat things. And the container, you know, your newspaper container, your news magazine container really becomes your browser or whatever app that you're pulling it through. You know, and for them, you know, they make money off of the transaction that happens. How many times do you hit their server? Not necessarily the ad revenue anymore. That's where Business Week is going. And that's really where I'm going with mobile magazine. If I can't figure out the WordPress issue I'm having, I'm really going that route faster than soon and then later. But the idea of, you know, if you're interested in mobile ministry from the perspective of missions, you should be able to dial up, you know, at your magazine, at your website of choice, those data feeds that are relevant there, and then through whatever reader you want, Flipboard or RSS reader, Google Reader, podcast catcher, whatever it may be, that you're pulling that stream down, you know, and then on a per item level, you're looking at the idea of branding or sponsored content and things of that sort. So I think that's the future of magazines. Actually, I think it's also the future of Bibles.
Ooh, that's a whole nother topic. I'm going to defer that. But you're amazing at how you you do two things. I mean, you as a magazine editor, producer, you're curating great content and you're creating content. How are you able to manage the workflow and the time on doing that? Give us a few tips.
The first thing is that I spend an hour a day away from technology. That's the first thing, because my RSS reader and Twitter, between RSS and Twitter, there's about 300 websites or so a day that I'm getting exposed to. And you just mentally can't process but so much. You need downtime. And so my downtime comes in the form of drawing or getting on a bike or doing something just totally not techie. So that's really number one. Is the rule of rest, an hour a day and one day a week, Sabbath, you know, can't. That is my favorite commandment for a lot of reasons, but that's the most important one. The second thing is that I actually limit how much I plug to. So for Mobile Ministry Magazine, there's the blog itself that I'm managing. There's a Twitter account. There's a Pinterest account. And then, you know, Discus and Atlas for a few social media pieces. And that's it. there's not a Facebook page. I still don't like the terms of service. I do very, very little, you know, jumping on every social media platform that there is. There's not enough time in the day, and as some of the numbers that are finally coming out, the good reputable stuff, there's a time sink with social media that you know, if I'm spending more than 5 hours a day on Twitter, I lost the day. I totally lost the day. There's more productive connecting items to happen. And the third thing is constant exposure to things I'm not familiar with. And I found this being extremely beneficial just from my walk in the faith. as a whole, but you get in kind of this echo chamber when you listen to things that you like or you follow the people that you like all the time. I love the rabbit hole. That's how I find just about everything. I hit a rabbit hole and, you know, a dot here and a dot there and a dot there, and then something comes together or a conversation, you know, from that rabbit hole. That's tends to be the other, you know, I enjoy rabbit holes. I don't think those are really, no, Sabbath, limited exposure, and rabbit holes.
Very, very helpful. Those are great tips, because technology can easily overwhelm us and get out of hand. So we're always here to share some good tips that help us to be stewards of technology rather than having technology control us, because by default it can kind of do that. Right. So what excites you happening outside the church walls that you would like to see the church do more of?
I was going to say talking, but that just rude. You know, gosh, I'm so much outside. I'm like that guy that's on the wall. I've got one foot over the wall, foot inside.
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
You know, well, it's interesting. I mean, I hang on the wall because I get a little bit of both. You know, the folks that really hate to hear Jesus in every line of text, and then the folks that if you didn't put Jesus in every line, they were looking at you as if you missed the book. I enjoy the conversations with those folks who are spent about Christ, because it's when they feel like they can be heard. You know, whatever their doubts are, whatever their misconceptions are, whatever the truths that they have, I find conversation most enjoyable because it puts my faith back at an honest place. And I don't necessarily have to go looking always for those. you know, there's a few technology groups that I you know, kind of dovetail and cross paths with, and you know, it usually starts off with, Antoine, we love your stance. We can't deal with your faith. And I like that start. I was like, oh, okay, cool. What can't you deal with? Because I probably can't either. You know, and the body being able to get into those discussions and really sit with, and I've said it on Mobile Ministry Magazine, of being a cultural researcher, being a social scientist, being able to listen to the views of others and have it sharpen your own over time. Not being afraid to be challenged. I think if we did that on a regular basis, I don't think we would be rising our by any. I think like Jesus, we'll find ourselves in that right moment in the presence of a miracle about to happen.
Great thought. Thank you for the invitation to step out in faith and to be in conversation, just talk with people through social media, which is a huge opportunity outside our doors. Thank you, Antoine. Great chatting with you.
Awesome. Good talking with you too, DJ, as well. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Antoine. Great to have you here on the Social Media Church podcast. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for how you can connect with Antoine Wright on Twitter and at his magazine website, which is at mobileministrymagazine.com, and other links in the show notes that we talked about during our conversation. And I'd love to hear from you as listeners of this podcast, whether you're the first time listener or a long time listener. Give us a call on the listener voicemail at 949-3-543-216, and let's turn this into a conversation, and your voice can be shared here, and we'll take the recording and post it onto a future episode. And if you'd like to connect with us on Twitter or Facebook or Pinterest or even YouTube, all the social media buttons are there on the upper right hand corner of socialmediachurch.net. And subscribe if you use iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. And if you do happen to be on iTunes, please do rate and review this show so that other people may join the conversation and benefit from all that we are learning and gathering here at the Social Media Church. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Social Media Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.